Did you ever walk through a crop formation out there in farmland? I've seen one in my life, and let me tell you, it's strange. This particular one was man-made. You could obviously tell. You could even see the foot patterns to get into it. But Linda Moulton Howe has investigated them for years all around this planet. In a moment, she's going to be talking about a couple cases of crop formations, just what they mean, where do they come from. In a moment, investigative reporter Linda Moulton Howe. Linda Moulton Howe is an Emmy Award-winning television producer, investigative reporter, author. She goes directly to the men and women at the forefront of science and environmental challenges and to firsthand eyewitnesses of high strangeness. She's a graduate of Stanford University with a master's degree in communication. She has devoted her documentary film, television, and radio career to productions concerning science, medicine, and the environment. And as soon as Linda heard that I was in St. Louis in the cave broadcasting the show, she commandeered my Los Angeles studio and apparently has camped in there, and they can't get her out. Is that true?
Your nose is going to grow and fall off.
You are in my studio, are you not?
Yes, I am, sir, but I'm here because I'm going to be speaking at the National UFO Conference this weekend, and as you and I agreed, this would be a good chance to talk on a good microphone about a fascinating subject of crop formations.
You have been investigating crop formations, Linda, for how long now?
First one that I went into was 1992, so that's what, 13 years ago. And that was spectacular. That was England. Wiltshire especially is where so many of the beautiful geometric patterns have come down over the years, with tremendous numbers of anomalies in those mysterious lights that I have written about in my book, Mysterious Lights and Crop Circles. And I have, I think, it's more than 100 reports at my news website, www.earthfiles.com, about the investigations of crop formations, which, George, I think it's really important for our Coast audience to understand that as often as people hear about so-called hoaxers, what is the bottom line for me and a lot of people who keep going in this field are the fundamental biochemical and biophysical changes that can be documented in the plants, changes in the soil, only inside of the crop formations. And this year in the United States has been fascinating. While there have been these incredible patterns in England, which we'll talk about in the second half hour, I want to concentrate on the United States in this half hour, because we have had circles. There were six circles in grass in North Carolina. They just came one right after another. They had everything. They had changes in the plants, changes in the soil, and they had multiple eyewitnesses of strange lights in one of them. And there have been now May, June, I think that would say the United States was having kind of an upsurge. And then at the same time, while these six circles were happening in North Carolina, they had very odd, what we call randomly downed in Phoenix, Arizona, and in Pennsylvania, that have turned out to be so similar that we are fascinated by the comparisons. And now, just in the last 2 weeks of August, there's been a pickup, and we have five reports. There were two new formations that were discovered August 12th. The first one was in Canisteo, Steuben County, New York, and one of the senior meteorologists for the National Weather Service in that area reported that there were two circles that were flattened in corn, and he found them when he went out to investigate what had been an F1 tornado that had gone through the area. But the circle flattened areas were off the track of the tornado, which was very defined and very confined. And the tornado damage investigator, as he was investigating and found these two circles that stunned him, and the investigator who had seen the track of the tornado was very clear, said he could not understand what produced the circles in corn a full 100 to 150 feet away from the tornado's path.
The corn stalks weren't flattened all the way to the ground, but they were kind of bent over several, well, I'd say probably a foot or two up to about 5 feet off the ground. And so it was kind of an unusual area, but they were very circular. The National Weather Service meteorologist said that he'd never seen anything like it. Even when he was in his training on what does storm damage do to crops, he spent quite a bit of time out looking at fields in Nebraska and what storm damage does to fields out there. He said he'd never seen anything that appeared like this in Canisteo, which is why he remarked that these must be crop circles. So it's definitely unusual. And as unusually rare as that is, there was a second formation that was reported on the same day in Greene County, Ohio, in corn, 9 foot tall corn. It covers a substantial portion of the field, but that also seems to be raised up anywhere from 2 inches above the ground to 6 feet above the ground. And this has resulted in creating several woven canopies, which you can actually walk underneath, and some in which you can actually walk on top of. It is incredible. The next report that has recently come about is on August 19th in Northwood, Grand Forks County, North Dakota. There was a series of 5 circles in wheat creating a thought bubble type design. It was found in the daytime by a pilot flying from the nearby municipal airport. The 5 circles are all swirled counterclockwise, with the swirled centers actually being several feet off from the center. The last formation was discovered on August the 21st in Coles County, Illinois. There were 2 circles in cattle corn, which were discovered by the son of the landowner while he was cutting grass in an adjacent drainage area. Both circles exhibited a radial lay pattern. They weren't swirled down. They were flattened from the center towards the edge. While I was out in the field, at one point, both Delcy Knockelman and myself heard a very unusual sound that we couldn't quite place. It seemed to be coming from between the 2 circles, and it sounded like a low mechanical humming type of a sound.
Could you try to mimic it?
Couldn't do it for you. I couldn't. It's lower than my vocal register could probably do. Hmm. Now, we didn't record it, but unusually, Ted Robertson, later on that night, was filming the formation with his infrared video camera. And as he panned across the main circle, looking towards the small circle in the same direction in which we heard that sound, he says that he has recorded an interference pattern, audible interference pattern, every time that he panned across that that same area where we heard that sound. So there's some unusual RF interference pattern that gave him distortion on his videotape.
Now, what about anyone reporting seeing anything unusual in the sky or hearing an unusual sound before you all had been there?
Well, not in the Greene County or the Canisteo case, but in the Coles County, Illinois case, once we had arrived, we were contacted by 4 different people who reported seeing unusual lights in the sky in the area of where the formation was, both around the time of the formation and subsequent to its discovery. So, like, for instance, there was one person who reported at 4:30 in the morning after the formation was discovered, they watched 2 unusually bright white balls of light with beams of light shining towards the ground that were spotted in the area towards where the formation was located, although the formation wasn't visible from their location. We also had 3 different witnesses that describes seeing brilliant red, like fire engine red, brighter than fireworks, balls of light larger than any stars or planets but smaller than the full moon that appeared in the sky in the area of the formation. The appearance of the lights caused two of the witnesses to nearly drive off the road. This is two completely independent people that came to us at different times to report the same, basically the same eyewitness event.
So we have lights. We have something that we really haven't encountered quite like this before, George, in which both the National Weather Service in Canisteo, New York, found that the plants, the corn plants, were raised up off the ground, woven together, or somehow meshed together, and that when the man talking, Jeffrey Wilson, who is director of the Independent Crop Circle Researchers Association in Williamsburg, Ohio, went out to check the Greene County, Pennsylvania formation and could literally, as a 170-pound-ish kind of man, could literally walk over sections of this three-quarters of a mile long, 35-foot wide, with literal canopies that he could stand under. And we are all baffled by how was this made. And that includes the National Weather Service man. And one of the questions that is a legitimate one to ask, if we are dealing with a meteorological phenomenon, it is one that has not been defined in the literature. So if we are dealing with what biophysicist W.C. Levengood thinks, that we are dealing with something, now what it is that starts this is the big unknown, the $64 million question, what is the source, but that the source causes ions, stripped electrons, to spin in the upper atmosphere with microwave energy, other energies, and that it spins down through the atmosphere, dragging with it meteoritic dust and depositing it when it makes these patterns, and that in the United States, perhaps, because we have a lot of violent weather, maybe some of these spinning plasma vortices get broken up. And that's why we have so much what's called randomly downed in the United States. England has the geometric formations. Canada has lots of circles. This year, for reasons that we do not understand, it's very mixed. We have circles. We have randomly downed. And both under investigation are showing these fundamental changes in the biochemistry and the biophysics. And we have multiple eyewitnesses at least twice in the United States this year to seeing very, very odd, what are these mysterious lights that some people think are some kind of plasma, maybe even with some sort of intelligence or programmed intelligence monitoring, doing work. And this is giving you a flavor for why the crop formations are so fascinating, and that we do not understand the physics of what is occurring in the fields. And one of the things that Jeffrey Wilson and his group, they are an incredible group of people, Ted Robertson, Roger Seigman, Delcy Knockelman, there are a whole group that they travel 6 or 8 hours to make one field investigation from wherever they are. They have been working so hard. And this November, in the middle of November, Chet Snow is going to be having a conference in the Phoenix area, bringing together people who have been doing a lot of investigation. Jeffrey Wilson will be there. I will be there. A lot of people, some from Europe. And this has been such a fascinating year on the England side, the United States side, and it's starting in Canada. And I would urge our Coast listeners to go to my news website, www.earthfiles.com, scroll down the headlines page, which is where you come, and there is a banner that has some of the speakers who will be speaking about the 2005 crop formation season. It has a hot click to go to the information and tickets and all of that. And I think this is an especially important year. We'll be talking about some of the things in England in the next half hour. But right now, also, Canada is beginning to have the season start. And they have just 2 days or 3 days ago, there was a very large circle with a ring around it up in sort of a remote area in Canada. And it's as if each year there is this wave as the United States harvesting is kind of ending, Canada comes into play. And there have been extraordinary formations in Canada in previous years, some also associated with these mysterious lights. And I think that if our coast audience understands that the anomalies are grounded and based in scientific analysis. We are working so hard because it's so interesting to see what has happened to the soil and what has happened to the plants. And this year in the United States, when you go to Earth Files at the very top, there is a headline, part one, New York and Ohio corn circles flattened 5 feet above the ground. And it goes and shows you some of the images, one that's quite amazing of part of this weaving of the corn somewhere about 5 feet above the ground, going for 3/4 of a mile up and down from 2 feet to 5 feet, and that we're trying to understand what is happening, and that the effort to look back, as I have a photograph of what happened in this general area last year and the year before. Well, here we come to this issue of ancient sacred sites. And at this report, it's a two-part report that I have done on what has been happening in the United States, in Illinois and in New York, in Pennsylvania, Ohio, Arizona. These are some of the places, Michigan, that we find that there are repetitions of patterns and sometimes even variations on the patterns that were there a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. And now in this Greene County, Ohio, where there was this very, very interesting raised pattern, it was on September 1st, 2004, exactly a year ago, that the very extraordinary and very beautiful, what we called the Miamisburg, Ohio pattern, appeared in 8-foot-tall corn. And when you look at that photograph on the Earth Files report and you see how beautiful it is, how geometric it is, and then realize 1 year later, not far away, also an extremely tall, 9-foot-tall corn, that we have something that is completely different in terms of being randomly down, not geometric. And there's no explanation at this point for it. This is a part of the United States mystery as opposed to those beautiful geometries in England. And there is another very interesting one. We have not seen anything quite like this before. This goes back to July 5th. And this was in also Greene County, Ohio. And it is a photograph that I have showing in a map that Jeffrey Wilson prepared where the mounds are in Ohio. And that when you look at where there were patterns this year in 2005 in Ohio and how they relate to the mounds, there is a photograph. It looks just like a herringbone weave, and it was in wheat.
We'll be back with more with Linda Moulton Howe. And Linda, I'm going to try to pin you down to see what you believe these things really are. Back in a moment. Okay, Linda, before we whisk you off to Europe with this other report, I've got to ask you, 13 years of investigating crop circles and formations, have you personally come up with any conclusions what these might be?
Well, that's what you asked me before the break, too, and that's where we're headed in England. Because over the last, well, I'd say, you know, from at least 90, 91, that's when people started making the very first videotapes of those moving mysterious white lights over the fields, either before formations came down or right after. And some people were describing in the early 90s seeing these mysterious lights. Usually, physicists looking at the videotape said that the lights were no more than 6 inches to 12 inches in diameter, And people were describing in the early 90s to the mid-90s seeing these lights with their eyes, whether they got them on videotape or not, over fields where they insisted that crop went down. And that is the link between mysterious lights, whatever they are, and the crop. Well, this year, on July 1st, I talked to a man in England, and it was one of the most interesting eyewitness accounts that I have ever had in talking with people who have seen something anomalous in crop formations. And this is Mike Booth. He has spent most of his 45 years designing for race cars and planes, so he's very familiar with things having to do with castings and mold and engineering. He even received his British National Diploma in Art from Buckinghamshire's American Amersham School of Art and Design back in 1979. He has a lot of education, and he has been living in Lockridge, which is one of the famous little villages in the heart of what is known as Wiltshire County, which is kind of the, we'll call it Crop Circle Central when it comes to England, even though this year, oh my heavens, there have been amazing formations in many, many other counties going beyond Wiltshire. But go back to Tuesday night, 6:30 p.m., June 21st, right at the switch to summer, and he had a habit of riding on his bicycle and leaving his house and going for a ride out of Lockridge past all the beautiful crop fields that grow there. And it was on that night, until then, Mike had never seen anything truly unusual until he was riding from Lockridge past this big wheat field in Boreham Down.
My attention was caught by three objects in the field on the left hand side of the road, and I immediately stopped because I realized straight away I was looking at something that I'd never seen before. These objects were about 4 feet wide, about 6 feet in length, with about roughly two to three feet showing above the crop of wheat in the field. It's quite a large field. And at this point in time in the UK, the wheat is green, so it was very, very obvious that these white metallic objects, as I would describe them, were very noticeable in the green crop.
And they were about 2 feet above the crop?
No, they were within the crop, but it was obvious to me that they weren't on the ground. The field actually slopes away up to my left as I'm looking up, so the land is rising, so it's actually very, very easy to see these objects or craft or whatever they were.
Do you mean that they were sort of down inside of the wheat heads themselves?
Yeah, I would say my personal opinion is that they were suspended. They weren't on the ground, but they were actually, I would say, with the 6 to 9 inches in the top of the crop, because they were brushing it down very slowly and making a trail through the crop, not in any particular pattern. Two of the craft or objects were very close to each other, no more than 30 feet apart. There was a third one, which was about 50 yards further to my right as I'm looking up the hill.
And I believe there
may well have been a fourth one, because the following day when I went back to take some photographs, there was actually a fourth trail in the wheat that I couldn't see because of the lie of the land, you know.
And you were seeing the wheat going down flat?
Yeah, not flat, actually. It was just, they were brushing through the top, but actually depressing the wheat so that the wheat was behind them. There was a very obvious trail about 9 or 10 inches lower than the rest of the crop in the field.
Okay, could you try to describe these objects in as much design detail as you can, given your profession?
In a domed, almost molded form, because I've done a great deal of molding work and vac forming in the past with the design work, and they looked exactly like they'd been molded. There were no edges, it was smooth contours,
mm-hmm.
Not unlike the mouse you get for a PC keyboard.
Right.
That
and
kind of sort of form, you know.
And the color?
Very apparent white, but with they'd kind of got a metallic sort of hue to them.
Mm-hmm.
And the sun, it was a beautiful evening, the sun was reflecting off them, and I've seen nothing like it. I've held an interest in obviously, like many people, UFOs over the years, but it's not something I've pursued or really looked into myself other than the odd TV program years ago, that sort of thing. But I've done a great deal of flying myself in the past, and categorically, what I saw, I have never seen the like of before.
How far were you from these three objects?
No further away than 200 yards at the very most. And they were, the slope was rising up, the gradient, so it's not as if they were like sort of flat and further away. So they're very, very easy to see. Perfect, you know, position to view anything on the side of the hill like mm-hmm. that. So I was, in point of fact, very close. And I think that's possibly one of the things that stopped me in my tracks and made me think quite clearly that I wasn't going to walk up the side of the field. And I mean, I could have touched one of them if I wanted to, because it was within the crop, but only about 6 or 8 feet away from the boundary where the crop stops and this kind of set aside land is. Mm-hmm.
That you could have walked up to get closer, but something kept you from doing that.
Yeah, and this is what has unsettled me, because I'm, you know, obviously with the background I've had in design and engineering, I'm naturally inquiring. You know, if it was anything else, I'd want to know what size engine it had got and how it was made and the rest of it. But I cannot understand why I was so sort of passive and accepting about the whole thing, you know. These objects were doing something completely different than making crop circles. Mm-hmm. They were, you know, in the wheat and leaving a trail behind them, but they weren't making a designated shape. I've been back and looked at the trails and taken photographs, and they were... The interesting thing is they're no further progressed down the trail than when I left them. So it kind of raises the question, where did they go? Did they reverse? Well, why is the wheat not laying back the other way?
Mm-hmm.
And the only other option, you know, and it's totally speculative, but you could go up, but the trails stop within the crop and there's nothing else disturbed in front of them or beside them.
And George, you and Coast listeners can see exactly what he was talking about. There is a really beautiful photograph that he provided that is at earthfiles.com in the article called UK Bicyclist Reports Mysterious Low-Hovering Objects Bending Wheat. And you can see these strange truncated trails in which just the upper 6 to 7 inch of wheat has bent over. And right below, he worked in a computer-generated illustration of these odd, domed, no detail other than their strange shape, comparing to a computer mouse, that there were these three or four making these odd trails in this field. And then the next day in the morning, this incredible formation was discovered and reported at Boreham Down, just right over the hill from where Mike Booth had been the night before on his bicycle, and watched what he called strange machines moving, hovering over the field, leaving only tracks.
Now, that's pretty exciting stuff, Linda.
How did
you find this?
Well, because I have done so much work in crop formations, and my book, Mysterious Lights and Crop Circles, is shared by a lot of people out there, I got an email. And it was about Mike Booth and the fact that he had seen these odd objects. And I got his phone number, called him up, and we talked about this at length. And he's a very down-to-earth man. And the fact that it shocked him that he goes back the next day because he was so curious about what had happened, and he then had his camera, which he hadn't had on the bicycle ride, and he finds those trails exactly the way they had looked the night before. But then he learns that this extraordinary, beautiful design, which you can see at the Earth Files news report about all of this, you can see the whole sequence, the map where it happened, his showing the field exactly from where he stopped on his bicycle, where these were in the field. Then you see these very strange trails, this mouse-like object. If it was only 4 feet by 6 feet, and it's hovering at the height of the wheat,
strange.
They made no sound. He could not hear any sound whatsoever.
It's got to be some kind of code, and let's rule out, of course, the hoaxes and the man-made ones. That's happening. But, you know, even if one was made by some unknown source, I mean, that's a dramatic story all by itself. I'm beginning to wonder, Linda, if these are communications from beings in parallel universes or parallel times, dimensions on this planet, and that maybe they're trying to send us some kind of message. They can't communicate with us directly. Who knows why? This is their only way of doing it, and so they're desperately trying to tell us something. Is that possible?
Well, what comes up over and over, are we dealing with the same intelligence that was responsible for the ziggurats, for all the stone circles around the planet, for some kind of a link to astronomy, to the galaxy beyond the solar system? That is a very interesting question, and that leads to the Mayan calendar. Why is it that the date of December 21st or 22nd of 2012 has been out there in the kind of the cultural mythology as a, some people call it an end date. Other people say a transition. Some people say a transformation. And others say, who knows, maybe nothing more will happen than it did with Y2K. But at the same time, that date of December 21st or 22nd, 2012 keeps coming up. And George, I'd like to try an experiment with you and the Coast listeners. If you can go to Earth Files and click on, I have all these hot links right at the top of the headlines page, so it's easy. It's
you
called.
Can we do that right now?
Yeah, go right okay. now, and it's called Mayan Clock, in August UK Crop Formations. And you will first see a big map showing where these formations came down in August, and then you will scroll down through some very, very Mayan-looking patterns. And the one that we want to head for is called Woolstone Hill near Uffington, Oxfordshire, August 13th, 2005. And there is a scientist in Australia, one among many that have corresponded with me now, since this series emerged in August. A lot of people in science and math looked at these formations and they were provoked. And not everybody has exactly the same conclusion, but this one particular Australian scientist, it is worth considering and going through this exercise on the radio and hopefully with people on their computer, because as you look through these photographs, George, you will come down to that to my title inside the report that says Mayan clock with moving counter, Okay. Scroll down and you see that there are yellow dots on that aerial of that pattern. And I said in the report, I added yellow dots to each of the small repeating boxes in each of those Mayan-looking, where it kind of, they're like little coil, squared coils. There, each of those yellow dots is showing that that block inside of each of those structures is moving. And you can see, if you start at the top of the first one, and you can do this with your fingers on the screen, that you see that there's a 90-degree shift from what we'll call the square to the square, that little block inside. And when you go to the upper right square, it is at the left, and then the bottom, then the right, and in, it repeats for some reason. Right again, then left, bottom, right, top, left, bottom, right, top, left. You see those dots shifting inside of each of those squares. And then the final, what would be squares 15 and 16, 16 of these squares inside of this formation, there do not appear to be those little blocks. There's nothing moving between 15 and 16, even though everything was moving.
Well, what does that mean, real quickly?
Well, this scientist in Australia thinks that we're coming up three major date possibilities of something: mid-August 2007, mid-summer 2009, and December 22nd, 2012. And this shows that if you study the crop formations, there can be things happening at this kind of detail that you otherwise would not see.
Linda, thanks. Enjoy your trip in Los Angeles. And real quickly, the conference is where?
At the Hollywood Renaissance Hollywood Hotel, 1755 Highland Avenue. And there's a bunch of us talking about government knowledge and cover-up.